Well, we've been talking about repentance. We're going to continue that today. I'm going to talk about repentance after salvation. Last time we talked about repentance to salvation. And so today we're going to approach this a little differently. How many know the Christian life means change? You know, people hate change. We get used to things. We like the way things are going. But God came to bring change. Jesus came to bring change to this world, not that it would stay the same. I sometimes think God gives us just a little bit of taste of hell so we'll appreciate heaven. I really believe that. And he allows a little bit in there so we'll really appreciate what he's going to do. And so salvation, being saved means change. God wants to take us from darkness to light into our daily life. God wants to work on our some of the things inside of us so that different things will come out of us, you see. And how many believe it takes just a little bit of work to get us ready to rule and reign with Jesus? How many think they're ready when they get saved? You see, that's the point of the whole thing. I want to show you something. There's a process here. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. I want to show you there's a process of getting... I didn't say when you're saved, you're going to heaven, but God has some things he wants to do before you get there. That's the issue, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because Romans chapter 8 and verse 29... A lot of things here. We could preach on this for a while, but I'm not going to stay here. I just want to show you Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I'd highlight that, put some stars around it, underline it, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means to form us into the mold of Christ. That means to change everything about us that's not like Jesus, so when we get there, the Lord's going to just see a whole crowd of Jesus running around heaven. That's the idea of the whole thing. And so God wants to change us, that to conform us to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, not the only one, but the first one, among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, here's the process, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And that's a process, you see. That takes time. That's talking about our soul. We're saved instantly in our spirit. We are everything God wants us to be in the spirit, but then it has to come out into our life. Our soul is where we live on a daily basis. And that's where the change is necessary. God has to change what we were so we'll be like him. It's just that simple. You know, there was a story in the Bible. It's a true story. There was a guy named Elimelech and Naomi, and they had two sons. And they were doing fairly well in Israel, but then a famine came, and they decided they'd take a little trip over into Moab. Now, Moab was a place of idol worship. It wasn't a good place. In fact, the Moabites hated Israel, so it couldn't have been a pleasant experience. But anyway, they went over there. The two sons married there, and they died. And then the husband died. And so the only thing is left is Naomi and the two girls. One was Ruth. And the other was Orpah.
Slip of the tongue.
Anyway, they were over there. And Naomi decided this didn't go too well. I mean, it doesn't take a really wise person to understand that that didn't work out well at all. And she said, I was better off when I was back in Israel. So she decides to return. So she tells the two daughter-in-laws, why don't you stay here? You belong here. You're Moabites. You just stay here and everything. You can remarry. You're young. All this kind of thing. And one of them said, yes, I think I'll stay. But the one named Ruth said, I've been around you long enough that I know you have something I don't have. Are you listening? How many people ever said to you, I've been around you long enough, I know you have something that I don't have? I'll tell you, the ones that can say that, the ones that have allowed God to change them. That's the ones that can say that. Now, the interesting thing about it is that right there, then and there, Ruth made a great statement. She said, I want your God to be my God. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to die where you die. I'm going to be buried where you are buried. That's pretty strong.
Yes, it is.
She got saved in Moab. But God wanted to bring her into a place where she could begin to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so they went back to Israel. About 75 miles they had to walk that thing down to the valleys and up over the hills and through that place. And they finally got there. And wouldn't you know, the place that Naomi lived was a place called Bethlehem. You ever heard of that? It's called the House of Bread. She didn't have anything. They were destitute. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a great place to be when you're destitute to the old life and looking forward to the new one.
Amen.
Because God's going to start with her life when they have nothing. And she's going to end up ruling and reigning with a guy called Boaz, who's a picture of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, what God can do in somebody's life where they say, I surrender it all, change me, make me like Jesus. That's what this Christian life's all about. It's not mixing the old with the new. It's not trying to live half in the old life and half in the new. It's not any of that. It's surrendering everything, giving your life, say, make me what you want me to be. I want to rule and reign in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the process that God wants to bring us to. And it's called repentance. Repentance means changing your mind about things. It means changing your direction. So in order to change your mind, you're going to have to take in information that is different than what you've been taking in before. And so over a process of time, it will change your mind, your former way of living. It is a new system of thought. And when somebody sees you 10 years later, they're starting to say there's something different about you. You see. I think one of the greatest testimonies I ever gave was when I went to back to my class reunion and preached. There was total shock. Because I was the bad boy in the class. And I think God did it on purpose. He wanted to show those folks that he could take the worst and change them to be like Christ.
Get on it, brother.
You see. It wouldn't have been any big deal if the president valedictorian of the class came in and preached. You understand what I'm saying? But many times he takes those that are worse. They've gone through the most problems, that have been through the biggest difficulties, that's had the most loss. And he touches them and brings them out of that miry clay and sets their feet on a rock, hallelujah. And that's the issue. That's what it's all about. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to give up the old, even some of the good of it and all of the bad of it. Because living the Christian life like you did when you were lost is a living hell. exactly what it is. And God wants to make us, He's got to change us into some things. He's got some great things in heaven. The Bible talks about that. You see? He's got some wonderful things for you. He set those up for you before the foundation of the world, but you have to walk in it. You have to desire it. You have to want it. You have to want to change, because we're only here on this earth for a short period of time. We haven't got a lot of time to let God change us. You see. And there is such a thing as crossing the line where God just can't do anything. And then whatever God planned before the foundation of the world is going to come to nothing. They call that perishing in the Bible. It doesn't mean you're not necessarily going to heaven, but it means when you get there, you're not going to get everything God planned for you. Now, I know some people haven't heard that before, but I got news. That's what the Bible says. You see. I don't know where we ever got the idea, oh, you know, I was bad, but I just got saved back there 20 years ago, and I haven't changed much, but I know it's going to be wonderful in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, if you go to heaven, it will. But it won't be what you think it's going to be. So we got to let God change us. I don't know how much time you have. I haven't got a lot. God's changing me all the time. He's changing me constantly, you see. And He should be changing us. We should be giving ourselves for change. And because the way we grew up is not what we are to be in Christ. God wants us to go from blaming everybody else for our problems, because that's what we do. Blaming everybody else for our problems, to a place where we come and say, God, I give up, I give in, I surrender. You see. If you want to be used by God, even in this life and the next one, you have to let God prepare you now. How many know that when they put you in the service, they don't put you on the front lines the next day? You got to be trained. You got to change. You got to learn that you don't sleep in till 10 o'clock in the morning anymore.
That's right.
It's going to be a different life. You're going to wear different clothes. They're not going to be the latest style. You understand? You're going to learn where the enemy was, and you didn't pay attention to the enemy before, but now he's going to show you who the enemy is and how God can deal with the enemy through you if you respond properly to God. Anybody that stays the same after they're saved either isn't saved or they didn't give themselves to God to be changed. You see, that's the issue. And you're going to die in the battle. You see, somebody says it's something like this, and I'm just going to read this. I thought it was good. It says that we take each area of our lives to God. I say, take each area of our lives to God. Surrender them to the rightful authority of Jesus Christ. We talked about it last time, who's the boss? When you get that settled, that'll be half the battle right there. When you determine who the boss is, it's either you, God, or the devil. And if it's you, it fits right in with the enemy. We take each area of our lives, we surrender them to the authority of God, and the power of redemption and deliverance begins to work practically in the daily action. How many know there's some things after you get saved that God wants you to be delivered from? And if you aren't delivered from them, you're going to be the same as you were before, only you go to church and look pretty once a week. That's the only difference. You see. If you have a problem with lust, or have a problem with anger, or have a problem with your relationships and all these other things, and before you're saved and that problem's still going after you're saved, you need deliverance. And somebody says, well, I just don't want anybody to know about this problem. I just cover it up and I try to be nice when I'm around church people particularly. But what you need is deliverance. You know, it's an interesting thing. Jesus spent a fourth of his time delivering people from demonic spirits. Those were people that... Some of them were people that got saved, and then they got delivered afterwards. I don't know. I've been through deliverance. And probably if I hadn't been through deliverance, I wouldn't be able to preach the message I'm preaching today. Are you listening to me? It's not a shame to go through deliverance and be delivered. It's a shame to keep the same old junk that you had before you were saved. That's where the shame is. To be the same 10 years from now as you are now. That's the shame. And it goes on and says, it really makes some sense if you think about it. If you truly repented, and that means I've changed my thinking about rejecting God's rightful authority over every particular issue in my life. Every relationship, every work, whatever. This guy said one time, I remember, he said he got saved and he was in this church and he was happy as a little lark, but then he found out that his church didn't teach the whole Bible, so he wanted to get out of there. But he was smart enough to know one thing, he better talk to God about it. Are you listening? God said, no, you're going to stay in this church for a year. What was God doing? If you don't know how to obey, you're not going to change.
That's right.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
He was in that church for another year, and then God gave him the freedom to go where he wanted to go, and he did, and he got blessed. What would have happened? He says, I'm going anyway. That's it. So we have to determine somewhere. You know, there's a whole lot of Christians been Christians for 30 years and don't know who the boss is.
Yes.
Can you imagine that kind of stuff? It goes on. I now not only submit, but I also agree with God to the thing that sinful in my life is utterly sinful. I agree with God. My belief about the desirability of that particular sin has changed. I not only agree it's wrong, but I also agree it's not desirable. At this point, my feelings about this sin has changed from desire to disgust, from longing for it to wanting to leave it. As long as I agree with God's perspective of this sin, I feel God's way about it. My emotions will then become God-like emotions and will drive me away from that sinful issue. And God, and I'm going to tell you, that's why it takes a lifetime for this to take place, because it takes that long for some of us for God to work through the whole process of everything that went on before we were saved, as well as after, when we weren't giving him the blessing and the authority in our lives. Now, there's a whole lot of Christians running around trying to do their own thing, and they're absolutely miserable. Because, you see, because they're trying to do the things of God in their own power, and if that was possible, they wouldn't have to get saved to go to heaven. You see, which is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen to this. If you're still drawn towards certain sins, it is because you have not truly and completely repented about them. You may feel guilty, you may be ashamed of these things, but deep down, you really love it. Deep down, the sin's feeding some insecurity or some inferiority. The desire to feed that is greater than your willingness to submit to God's rightful authority. My. Let's go to 1 John 2:15. 1 John, not John, 1 John. I'm going to tell you something right now before I even get into it later. It's very simple. You're not going to change unless you begin to know the Word of God. You won't change. It's not going to happen. Now, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Most people read over that real quick. "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away in the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." I like that part. Now I'm going to read what it says in the Amplified Bible. Here's what it says. "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or abilities, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world. The world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life remains forever." Now I want to say it again. He who does the will of God. I would probably say that if you ask half the people what the will of God is for their life, they don't have a clue. I won't ask for a show of hands. We're not going to have a test. But because it's God's business, not mine. But the issue is, he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides forever. That's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. And so we ought to be being about the business of knowing what God's will is for our life and doing it before he comes, you see. Now here's the world. It's based on selfishness and self-centeredness. Me, myself, and I. Me, my. That's all you talk about. That's all you want, whatever you want. When you get up in the morning, when you go to work, when you come home at night, it's what I want, it's what I want to do, it's how I want to do it, it's how I want to pay for it, it's how I'm going to do this. That's the world. Operates by fear. Operates in Satan's plan. Does not believe in, for instance, marriage. You know, it's an interesting thing. You watch television, you watch it long enough, you'll find out that more than half of the programs have somebody living with somebody not married. Isn't it interesting? It's the world. It's not God's way. We are to change from those things. We're to change our mind with the Word of God. The world wants all it can. It's contrary to God's system. It's temporary. There'll be a day it'll be gone. I'm sure in New York City they looked at those Twin Towers and they said, "Oh my goodness, that's one of the most miraculous things in the entire world." And 2 days later it was gone. It was gone. It was just a hole in the ground. It was gone. That's the way the things of the world are. Only the things of God last forever. That's why I preach these things. That's why I teach these things. They last forever. I want everlasting things, you see. The world's temporary. Your body's temporary. Your things are temporary. They'll end up in a garage sale. You know, and it's usually when it ends up in the garage sale, it's junk that nobody wants. And you thought it was wonderful.
Great stuff.
I was at a garage sale this week, and now get this. We walk into the garage sale. They said, everything is free. That's what they said. I said, whoa, this can't be. Everything is free. People are walking in and out of that thing and taking nothing. Nothing. There wasn't. Somebody paid a lot of money for that stuff on time. I'm going to tell you, it's temporary. Are you listening to me? It's temporary. I said, well, it must be God must have taken a desire of garage sales away from us. We're going to a free garage sale and take nothing. That's the world's way. Here's how the kingdom of God system operates. It operates by faith and love. It's in agreement with the word of God. Marriage is honorable between a man and a woman. I emphasize a man and a woman. I don't care if anybody likes it or not. God says it's a man and a woman. And all this other stuff is a bunch of nonsense. And worldly stuff that's temporary, and most of it doesn't last. Whole thing's based on love, not on lust. Not on what I want, when I want it, how I can have it. That's the world. God's way is, how can we help somebody else? It operates in God's system and plan, and it's eternal instead of temporary, you see. So you got to choose what system you're going to operate in this life. You're going to do it God's way, you're going to do it your own way, you're going to do it the devil's way. There's no profit in the world system. There is eternal profit in God's system, you see. Now, lust of the flesh, what's that? Fill every lusty desire you have at the expense of somebody else. Now, let me tell you that again. How many people are doing that? How many people are doing that sitting in here today? Fulfill every evil thought of the mind. Let's get this. Here's the lust of the flesh is fill every fleshly desire you have at the expense of somebody else. The lust of the eyes is fulfill every evil thought of the mind and your imaginations. Pride of life. Listen to this one. Believe in your own power that you can do anything, even earn your way to heaven. See how far that'll get you. Nothing just happens. We're responsible for our thoughts, for our words, and our actions. Our thoughts, words, and actions show us who we are. God says your soul is a garden that He wants to plant His beautiful things in it. He wants to clear the land. He wants to get rid of all the anger, lust, and selfishness. And He wants to plant love, joy, and peace. Hallelujah. You see, that's the difference. Because I'll tell you, people without God and people that are selfish have no peace in their life. You see. He wants to plant His word. We have to be quick to believe it and receive it and accept it and work it out in our life, God. We have to choose what we want to see, what we hear, and what we want to do. You have to choose those things on a daily basis. You have to choose to operate in God's love. I got up this morning. I said, God, fill me with your love and compassion. That's what I want. Your love and compassion. I don't want mine. I want yours. You see, mine just a little temporary thing. I want His, that's eternal. So you got to choose to do that. You got to say, Lord, this day is yours. Do in this day whatever you want to do. You are God. You see. Now, how do you have victory now? Let's look in Galatians 5, 16. I'm going to try to hurry. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Well, if you're still out there, say amen. I'm glad you haven't gone home yet. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, and this is God speaking. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you want to know what the lust of the flesh is? Here it is, and any Christian can be involved in this stuff if they're not in the Spirit. Look in verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, that's drugs and various other things, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and I could put anger and bitterness and all kinds of stuff in there, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, that they who do shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It means you're not going to get rewards and the blessing of what God has for you when you get there. Are you listening? I mean, listen, you know, you got to put the whole Bible together. You can't just take one verse out someplace. It says here you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't say you wouldn't go there. You can't do any of this stuff of God by your own willpower. That's pride, you see. Somebody says, I can do this. I can do this without God's help. And I can give up this sin. I can give up this habit. And a few days later, you give in to it. How many times have you done that? You know, you got to have God to do these things. You see. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you are walking in the flesh, counseling and pills are not going to help you.
That's right.
Most counselors that go to the thing say, well, you have this problem, take this pill. Are you listening to me? All the pill does is cover up the whole thing, and you walk around like a mummy, and there's no way that God's going to be able to work in that kind of a situation. You got to come to God. You got to get cleaned up. You got to get the giants out of your land. Then God can begin to plant the good stuff. If I took a beautiful flower, I mean that thing's blooming just wonderful, and I go out in the middle of my lawn and dig a little hole and stick it in there, guess what's going to happen? The lawn's going to take over. So what I'm telling you is you can't get a little bit of Sunday morning, stick it in the lawn of your life, and expect God to do anything. That's like taking pills. I'm not picking on anybody. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll get into God's system. Now here it is, you can't change without the Word of God. You cannot change without the Word of God. Well, the first thing I ask somebody comes to me for counseling, I say, do you read your Bible? If they say no, I might as well say, well, you might as well go home. Because you're not going to change. It doesn't make any difference what I say or what I pray. If you're not going to be in the Word of God, it's not going to make any difference. Do you know how God created the earth? By His
Word.
By His
Word.
If He created the world by His Word, He will change you by His Word. You see. And say, well, you know, I'd rather watch something on TV. Well, go ahead. Do you take notes? You might as well watch As the World Squirms and take notes. all the good it's going to do you. You know, some of us say, well, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. Well, tell me what you watch on television. All I can say is, what word is changing you? The word of the world or the word of God? Most of us would be better off if we just read the Word of God and threw the television out in the garbage. Now, I know that's really extreme. If you're not going to allow God to change you, that would be the best thing you could possibly ever do. Because you are being taught by the words that you hear. So it's either the Word of God, you know, sinful habits come from wrong thinking. Oh, I'm saved. God died for me on the cross. This little sin isn't going to make any difference. Well, just take a glass of water and put a couple drops of arsenic in it and drink it. You see. I'll tell you what happened to you. If you let God change you, all that worldly stuff's not going to mean one thing to you. It'll come to the point where it won't mean anything. It'll just fade away. And you're going to desire what God wants on a 24-hour basis. The flesh is a way of thinking. It opposes the Word of God. It says, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, because the flesh opposes the Word of God. You see. And the spiritual life is a way of thinking that lines up with God's Word. Now, let me tell you something. If Satan can control your thinking, he can control you. It's just that easy. God made us that way. Whatever we think is what we become. Our imagination, we've talked about this before. I call that the artistic work of God in a person's life. And he paints pictures in your mind. And he paints prophecy in your mind. And he paints healing in your mind. And you begin to think on the things of God, you see. If you don't know the Word of God, you're in big trouble. Because you're going to be susceptible to everything this world has to offer. I saw my dad change when he was 65 years old. I never thought I would see it in my life. But I had a chance to lead him to the Lord. He got into the Word of God and read that Bible several times before he died. Never missed at least Sunday morning ever again in his life, hardly. And before, he just, well, you know, nice weather, I think I'll do something else. Well, if you get saved and get in the Word of God, it'll change you and you'll do something else all right. You'll do the things of God. Now, I want to show you, you've seen these scriptures 100 times, but I want you to see them another 100. Romans, you know every time you read the Word of God, you get something new? Do you know that if you're really serious about it? You say, I've read this 10 times and never got this out of it, what I'm getting today. It's spiritual food. Now, go to Romans 12, and everybody's read this many, many times, but I want you to see what it says. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the first thing you do, you present your life to God and say, God, you're the boss, take over. Then secondly, in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
By the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Okay, you have to renew your mind. It's just not going to come out of thin air. You got to get in, you got to learn the Word of God and see what it says. I don't care what you learned back 40 years ago. It may or may not have been right. I don't know. But I know this, you got to keep stay in the Word, get in the Word. It's like you eat dinner every day, you're going to get in the Word of God every day. I mean, come on, let's get honest here as to what we are. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And if you don't get in the Word of God, you will not change. It's just that simple. That manual for life was given by God in all kinds of forms and translations and everything else imaginable, and everyday English and whatever. Just get into it. Eat it up. Make it become a part of you. Now, you know, I'll tell you, the people are going to change. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying you have to do this. You do whatever you want. But we teach on Sunday morning, we teach on Sunday night, and we teach on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I'm going through the whole Bible. If you want to learn the Word of God, you will come. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, you know, Sunday morning's good enough for me. We had, this last week, a guy come by the church last Wednesday night, and he talked to me, and he said, I've been listening to you on the radio, and he said, I'm at this so-and-so retirement center, and they want you to come and have a Bible study. We got people in this church that don't even go to a Bible study. These people want their mind renewed. They're obviously older folks. They haven't got a lot of time. They say, I want to get in that Word and I want to change before Jesus comes. Are you listening to me? Isn't that wonderful? My goodness, how could you turn them down? You know what most people do? They try to build a house in a storm. How are you going to build a house in a storm? Are you listening?
Yes.
What they do, they wait till the storm comes, they run to church, and they say, help me. Help me in an hour and a half or something like that. You can't build anything in a storm. You got to build that thing while it's time. You got to build that thing when it's calm. You got to be building up the Word of God and building up the Word of God and building up the Word of God. When the storm comes, it's going to bounce off. Are you listening to me? If you don't do that, it's like building your house on the sand. It's going to fly away. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can't wait till the crisis comes to change your life. You know what most people do? If nothing else works, they throw money at the problem. How many people have messed their kids up by throwing money at the problem? Are you listening to me? Bailed them out of everything, and then they wonder why they fall when the storm hits. I knew a lady one time, her son went into a clothing store and stole a whole bunch of clothes. And they found out who it was. This is a true story. And so the police come to get him. And so the mother, as fast as she can go, runs up to that clothing store and says, I'll pay you double for everything he took. And they dropped the charges. And her son dropped into a life of hell. Are you listening to me? He'd have been better off to go to jail. Are you listening to me? You can't change somebody with money. No, not going to happen. And that's what God says here. You can't change somebody without the Word of God. You see, you can't change somebody's thinking by giving them money. Come on. You can't help somebody whose mind is set on failure. You can't help them. You can't help somebody that all they do is believe everything they see on television and the news and everything. You can't help that person. We got a nation that's set on greed, immorality, and death. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you're going to survive it is come to Jesus Christ, because this nation will go down like any other nation if we continue on the course we're going. The only thing that's going to change it is the light of God in you. Almost done. One of the things we got to do in our life is with God's help, and everything's with God's help. Joshua had to have God's help to go in and take Jericho. What we have to do, we have to deal with the doors where we've allowed Satan to come in. We got to deal with those things. We got to deal with the opening that we allowed the enemy to come in. We got to deal with the enemy and deal with the doors we let him in, because we let him in. Satan can't do anything he wants to. If you see a person that Satan's drove insane, I'll tell you right now, whose fault is it? The person that opened the door. You open the door to that stuff, and it'll take you down. Yes. Now, you can be an overcomer by renewing your mind. You can be an overcomer by taking in the Word of God, by memorizing it, by meditating it on it, by having it. I heard somebody this morning say, we just play Christian things in our house and it's changed our house. Christian music, the Word of God on tape, whatever somebody preaching, you have that in your house, it will change your house. It'll change the atmosphere in your house. You see, we got to overcome. We got to be overcomers here. It's kind of like a butterfly. Starts out as a worm. We've talked about this many, many times. Butterfly starts out as an old worm crawling around on the ground. Got his nose in the dirt. God said, you want to change? You have to die to what you are. You have to die to what you are. And he begins to build a casket around himself. And he called it a cocoon, of course, but I'm going to call it a casket. Because I'm going to tell you, inside that casket, the worm dies. And something else, God, it's God that does it. It's the power of God. It's the life of God touches that old dead worm, and something else begins to form. And something else begins to stretch its wings, which it didn't have before. And now begins a process, a hard process, that's going to save the life of this life inside that casket. And it's got to dig itself out. And it digs a little hole here and a little hole there. And it fights and it expands. And it, with tremendous effort, eventually it opens up. And out of that thing comes a beautiful butterfly that rises above the ground into the atmosphere of God. What would happen to that butterfly if he didn't have to struggle to get out? He would die. Now I'm going to tell you, we struggle in this life. This life is designed that way. Because we struggle in this life and we overcome and we overcome and we overcome. Then when we get to heaven, there's the rewards. Here's your position. Sit with me on the throne of the living God. Hallelujah. Because you changed. You changed. You changed. You didn't stay the same. And the Christian life is changing, changing, changing into what God wants you to be. One last verse, Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 16 and 32. And it says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he that takes a city. That means if you allow God to change you from the anger and the frustration and all this other stuff, and you let God rule your spirit, you're a winner. I don't care what stage of life you're in. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how prestigious you are or how low you are. It doesn't make any difference. God can take a street person and make them a butterfly. And he's doing it every day. And we got people sitting in churches just kind of sitting there and just kind of soaking it up and say, well, we punched our ticket today with God. Now we can just do anything we want to. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you conquer your soul in Christ, you'll be stronger than those in the world. And nothing can overcome you. Let's stand before the Lord.